Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. Good to be back. I'll talk a little bit about my China trip next hour. As the President and Congress negotiate tax rates and deductions for individuals, cities, states, and counties are giving back $80 billion a year to businesses. $80 billion. That's the finding from Louise Story, New York Times reporter on the investigations desk in her series, The United States of Subsidies. Did you see this three-part series? It has videos, it has charts about how corporations have learned to take advantage of the political imperative to preserve and add jobs at the state and local level, whether or not they're actually preserving or adding jobs for the subsidies they get. So, Louise Story, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, we should mention, to start locally, definitely play this game. Where do they stand comparatively?
Oh, they absolutely play this game. And, you know, they spend a lot of money on incentives. You know, Governor Christie has been giving out a lot of new awards. You've heard about, for instance, Prudential, the financial company out there, got a big award recently. In New Jersey, a lot of those tax credits will be claimed that Governor Christie has been giving will be claimed over time. So they haven't actually been claimed yet. New York spends a lot on this. New York spends a lot on movie incentives. That was one area I found that is costly to New York. And New York also had some data available on statewide property tax abatements for businesses, which I was able to include. Most states didn't have that. And so in New York, it was over $1 billion in property tax abatements to companies here. So it's a lot of money. I interviewed recently someone from the Economic Development Corp in New York City. I asked him, how often are companies coming to the table and saying, we're going to go to New Jersey if we don't have incentives? And he said, quite often.
Here's a bit of an ad that you use in one of the videos in the series. The narrator is Robert De Niro.
Well, today there's a new New York State, one that's working to attract businesses and create jobs, build energy highways and high-tech centers, nurture startups and small businesses, reduce tax burdens, and provide the lowest middle-class tax rate in 58 years.
Now, that video, at least the clip that we played, doesn't specifically mention corporate tax subsidies. Why did you include that?
Well, we included that in a video on Monday, actually the same one, where I interviewed that person from the Economic Development Corp in New York City, because it shows that, you know, the states are out trying to recruit business. There are a lot of people in the economic development area, you know, across the country, who say that it would be more productive, at least for states to think regionally, for states not to be spending taxpayers' money to get a company to move maybe 10 miles where they still employ the very same people who just have a commute. It's here in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. It's also, you know, any state border. Another one I looked at pretty closely was Kansas City, which, you know, sits in between Kansas and Missouri. And I just saw on the last day, there's an article out now about Kansas, you know, spending $5 million to get a company from Missouri. So this border war continues.
And we have a link, folks, to the map and chart on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for this map and chart that go with Louise Story series in the New York Times about these tax subsidies by localities to businesses. You can check out if your company or your competitor is getting tax breaks. And call if you have a stake in this or a question about this at 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or post a question to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Louise, I'm glad you did this series. This is one of the sources, I think, of the most constant outrage among listeners to the show when they see and hear about subsidies that are given to what we know are very well-off companies at the same time that we say, oh, we don't have enough taxes for schools, we don't have enough taxes for the subways, for roads. And this map comes with a list of the largest beneficiaries by state. So what do we know when we learn, for example, from this, that Chase gets the biggest incentive in New York in the form of property tax relief?
Well, you know, banks are just like other companies, and especially since banks have a lot of branches and physical buildings, so they go to the local, you know, in New York, it would usually be the IDA, the Industrial Development Agencies, and they say, look, you know, we don't want to break on our taxes, and you should do it because we're going to hire all these people. The question is now, it's become so common for companies to get these breaks to hire people that the question is, why do companies need subsidies to hire people? Don't they need workers simply to do their business?
And if you're going to give them a little bit of money for each extra worker, is that really going to make the difference in whether they hire the worker or not? But it's not that they don't need employees. It's where they locate physically, right?
It's where they locate physically, and a lot of companies will play one town against another town. And the other point is that a lot of companies would have hired workers even without the incentives, right? Because again, as I was saying, you know, if you want to run a bank, right, you need to have workers there. And so what are you going to do, just not run the bank? I mean, workers are a necessary ingredient in doing things. One type of incentive that really got my attention that shows clearly how far this has gone are incentives for retail companies and hotels. So, you know, if you're a hotel operator and you want to have a hotel in New York City, okay, you can't have it in New Jersey. If you want to be in New York City, you've got to be in New York City. And New York does give a lot of incentives to companies that arguably really have to be here anyways.
Let's take a phone call from Ken in Newark, who I think has an example of this. Hi, Ken.
Yes, hi. You mentioned, I want to really say you've done a wonderful job on that series of articles, but I just want to say that you mentioned the Prudential. They're only moving four blocks away. They're building a on Broad Street, four blocks away from where they were in the Gateway. And Panasonic moved from, what was it, Secaucus into Newark at the cost of millions and multi-hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes that Newark should be collecting. It's just a giveaway of taxes to corporations.
Ken, thanks. Do you want to say anything about that Prudential deal?
Well, you know, the Prudential deal, I mean, that's a company that's long been in New Jersey. But, of course, the catch here is that many of these companies tell localities they might leave if they don't get the awards, and localities don't really have a way to vet this. This raises something I heard from a lot of local officials, which is that they wish there were a national data collection on this. I mean, not only is there not national data on the cost across everywhere, there's also not data on, you know, companies' track records. So if a company tells a local official, you know, oh, you know, in this other place we did such and such, and the officials don't have a way to check if these companies have broken their promises elsewhere.
And sometimes, though, they do move, don't they? Just enough to keep all the localities on edge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are companies that have moved, but they're not always moving necessarily because of incentives. They might be moving. And in fact, I talked to a lot of executives at companies as well as private consultants who told me often they're moving because they want to go where there's lower wages, where they can pay less. Sometimes they have geographic reasons they need to move. And those are things that, though these incentives add up to a lot of money, you know, each individual deal often might be not quite as much. I mean, one deal I looked at is Apple recently got nearly $40 million in Texas to expand in Texas rather than to expand in California. So they didn't move, but, you know, the new jobs they're adding are in Texas. Well, you know, close to $40 million, that's a lot out of the local budgets in Texas, you know, these cities and the school budgets. Mm-hmm. But it's not for Apple. I mean, this Apple is rolling in billions of dollars of profits. And so the incentives, you know, in the words one official I talked with from Samsung said, sometimes the incentives, like a cash grant they got from Texas, was more like it shows respect rather than a real financial factor that drives the entire decision.
And related to this, a listener named Peg writes on our comments page, another way that we subsidize businesses is the minimum wage. And I realize this is a different topic, but she says when the minimum wage is lower than the living wage, as it is by several dollars per hour nationally, workers are forced to make up the difference by using the social welfare system, food stamps, Medicaid, HEAP programs, which are all supported by the taxpayer.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely true that when, you know, a city or a county has less money, they have less money for programs like that. And, you know, generally public spending is redistributive, right? I mean, people of all income levels use it, but certainly lower income benefit from it a lot. But when you give that money to a company, it goes through the corporate profit structure, right? Which is not focused on giving the bulk of it to workers. It's focused on running the profits up through executives and shareholders.
And Larry in Westchester, you're on the air with Louise Story from the New York Times. Her series on localities that compete with each other through tax subsidies, sometimes wasted on companies that weren't going to move anyway. Hi, Larry.
Hi, good morning. I tuned in late, so I don't know if this was an issue that was raised before, but, you know, I think the municipalities are forced into providing these subsidies in competition with New York City, is in competition with Jersey City, in competition with Stanford and Greenwich, to attract these headquarters and these offices. And so, you know, I would hope that municipal officials aren't just looking to give them out, to give these subsidies out without a reason to attract the business there. It's not so much for, it's for the corporations, obviously, and it's for the sales tax revenues and other revenues that will accumulate by employees being in those locations.
Thank you, Larry. Now, this is a case, Louise, would you agree, where progressives and conservatives to some degree see things similarly? In a recent Crane's panel discussion among the 2013 mayoral hopefuls in New York City, Controller John Liu said he would shut down the Economic Development Corporation and quit offering business incentives in exchange for lowering the overall corporate tax rate. And I think some conservative, you know, economists also like ideas like that, would you say?
This does cross the political spectrum, which is so interesting. Some of the governors who have given out the most incentives are in both parties, Democrats and Republicans. And some of the governors who have tried to rein it in and criticize it are on both sides. And the argument from conservatives who are against it tends to be, this is a waste of taxpayer money, and, you know, they want lower taxes. And the argument from people on the left who are against it tends to be, well, we need this money for social services.
Is it feasible? Would it be feasible for any mayor to say, okay, that's it, no more tax subsidies for businesses who threaten to leave? I've often asked on the show, though I realize it's kind of pie in the sky, couldn't all the cities of America and all the states make an arms reduction deal, you know, a ceasefire agreement? This is just not the way we're going to try to attract businesses to our areas, because it's against the interest of all our taxpayers. But, you know, try to get the governor of New York and the governor of New Jersey ever agree to that in practice.
Well, you know, actually, the governor of Illinois back in the early 1990s, Jim Edgar, he tried to get the National Governors Association to have all the governors agree to a truce. And they talked about it. He got some people to sign on. But he told me it was the southern governors, for the most part, who would not agree. And he said you could not do it without everyone signing on. Another interesting, really recent example is Chiquita. You know, that company, they were in Ohio, and they were asking for a lot of incentives. They'd already been there. And so finally, Ohio just said, no, we're not going to raise our offer anymore. So Chiquita moved to the Carolinas. So they did move. And then you had a mayor in Ohio who came out and said, essentially, good riddance. You know, they were asking for too much. And Carolinas should watch out, because as soon as that deal runs out for them, they're going to be threatening to move again.
Mm. And you make the point that what businesses themselves may even need to succeed long term are good schools for, you know, attracting good employees and things like that. And yet the shareholders and the voters demand short term results. Did you get the sense that both sides, the companies and the localities, sense the conflict?
Yes. When you talk to most individual actors in this, people within companies, you know, a county commissioner or a mayor or a governor, most of them say, we recognize this is not an optimal system. But then they say, but we have to compete as long as the bidding war is going on. Another really interesting thing that a lot of local officials say is they say they are worried about jobs going overseas. And that's one of the reasons they gave me that they needed to offer these incentives. And to be sure, some jobs have gone overseas. However, I was able to go through a bunch of data that showed where companies that got awards had been considering locating. And I also, you know, interviewed a lot of people about this. And in many, many cases, the companies were only looking within the United States. And in fact, when companies go overseas, that decision is often made long before they would consider incentives. And given that they could get incentives, but they went overseas, it's clear, you know, the incentives often are not enough to drive that decision. It's driven by a lot of other factors than incentives.
We're almost out of time, but George in Brooklyn, we got like 10 seconds for your question. Go.
Question is, this sounds like a three-card Monte game. And the sometimes the you're portraying the government officials as the victims. I say they're the dealers. What do you say?
I don't think there's a victim or a villain. I think this is one of those things. It's a collective action problem. They're all, you know, pushing for their own best interests, but, you know, it's questionable whether it adds up to the national, you know, the national interest.
15 seconds on national interest. Did you mention the president in your article, or is this all about localities?
Well, there certainly may be a role for Congress, the president. To start, they could tell the U.S. Census, which, you know, they gather data on local spending. They could tell them to start gathering information on what's even happening.
Huh.
President Obama is in the third part of my three-part series about a movie studio in Michigan. So you can check him out there.
There we leave it with Louise Story, New York Times reporter on the investigations desk about her series, United States of Subsidies. Thank you very much.
Thank you.